Okay, we're in the Rambam Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Hey. We've been talking about the vows of a minor, a vow of a minor who's approaching adulthood, and how biblically they're effective. Now we're talking again about, we said if the girl is 12, if the girl is 11 years and one day, and the boy is 12 years and one day, they've reached this state that's called the Onas Nedarim, the time when they can make a vow. Biblically, their vow is a vow. However, if they transgress it, they don't get punished, right, because they're minors. But the Torah makes a chiddush that although they are minors, their vows are vows. So continuing with that idea, hey, hikdishu, let's say they made something sanctified. And then a separate adult, they said this, let's say, is a korban. This is hekdish or whatever. Nobody can eat this. Then comes a separate adult. Now this kid did it when the boy was 12. The girl was 11. Ubo hagodol, comes the adult now. V'nehena mina hekdesh yekdishu, and he benefits from that which the kid sanctified. Okay. It's biblically effective, and therefore loka, the adult, the other adult, will get lashed.
If he knows that it's been hekdesh.
Well, of course, he has to know. It's always been when he knows, right? Mishum shenidreim nedarim, because their vows are biblical nedarim, as we explained. Although if they eat it themselves, the child will not get lashed, because you have to be adult to be lashed. Now, Bamed, Vormamori, when are we talking about a girl now? We're going back to a girl now. Shabbas Yudbei, Shon of Yom Echad Nerukim. We said that when she's 12 years and one day, her vows are absolutely vows. Right? Bishalo Hoysa Birshu Sa'av. It's if she's not under her father's domain. Okay? For example, if she has gone over, she's a bogeris, which we'll see in a minute, 12 years, 6 months in a day. Or if she was married and then divorced, as we'll see later on. That's when she can be making vows. Okay, and she wasn't under the husband's domain. That's where we're saying their vows are vows. When the girl reaches adulthood. What if she's under the father's domain? Afilu higdila, even if she has become a gadol, but vaharehi na'ara, she's still a na'ara. A nara is a girl from the age of 12 years and one day until the age of 12 years and 6 months. She's still considered, under, even though she's an adult, she's under the father's domain. So, via Mayfair, kol nidarev choshvuas shetishava biyom shamo. The father may nullify all her vows or oaths that she swore. On the day he heard it, he may nullify it. Shenemar, as it says, kol nidarev asra, etc., etc. Kiheni of Yosef, the father nullifies them, they're not vows. So this now becomes the new concept that a father may nullify the daughter's vows. Now remember, if she's under 11 years old, then there's nothing to be said. It's like a waste of time. It's hot air. From 11 years and one day, her vows potentially can be something. But if she's in the father's domain, now it has to do with the father's domain. He can nullify the day he hears it. Now, Zion, Vad Mosai Avia Mefer, how old can she grow up that the father can still nullify her vows? At Shidivkor, until she becomes a Bogeris, where she is 12 years and 6 months complete. Okay, and she also brings two hairs already. We assume she brought already. Then Eino Mefer, he can't nullify it, even though she lives in the house and he's paying her tuitions and everything, and she's a burden on him at the rate of $30,000 a year. Whoa. Doesn't matter. The father has no control of vows. For a kol nidareish v'oseh k'nedar al grusha, all her vows and oaths are as binding and not dependent on anyone, just as if she had made a vow if she would have been a widow. Or a divorcee, shenemar, as it says, kol asher osra al nafsho, whatever she makes prohibited on herself. So now we have the timeline of when the father can nullify the vows. Now we need the timeline of the husband nullifying a wife's vows. Ches. And from when, for how long, can a husband nullify the vows of his wife and her oaths? In other words, at what point now? We'll clarify this more next halacha afterwards. So we don't have the final word yet. But basically, mishit kones lechupa. When she comes into the chuppah, meaning he brings her into his house, they've had the erusin, they'd have the nisuim, and now they're in the house, chuppah, in the house. And now he's the husband, exclusively. She's totally out of the father's domain, totally in the husband's domain, as it were. Vumevrilo, and he can forever nullify her vows, and she grashenu, until he divorces her. When he divorces her, he no longer has control.
There's no time from the time she makes a vow till he nullifies. There's no.
We didn't get to that yet.
Okay.
We haven't discussed that yet. The agia haget liyada, and the get reaches her hand.
Until the get reaches her hand.
Now, if he gives it to a shliach, it has not reached her hand, he could still nullify the vow.
Right.
But when the get is completed, as it reaches her hand. Now, what if you have a situation, interesting, what if she's in a doubtful divorce situation? For example, in a public domain, the husband throws a get to her on the floor, and it's a suffix, is it close to him and close to her? It's a suffix if she is divorced. So how do we treat it? Well, obviously, lo yofer lo, he shouldn't nullify any of her vows, right? Because you got to remember, there's a basic idea it's going to be explained clearly much later, but we have to assume it now. Why in the world can a husband nullify the wife's vows anyway? Because, first of all, it's not every vow. It's only, we'll see which kind of vows. It's vows that affect him. And if she could make a vow that will make her disgusting to her husband. And that's why, you know, he doesn't like what she's doing. And therefore, he can nullify it. However, if the husband wants to divorce her anyway, you lose those rights. If you threw a get at her and the only thing that's holding back complete divorce is we're not sure if it was close enough, there's no love loss between the husband and wife. So why are you trying to nullify her vows? Because maybe if you don't, you'll be disgusted with her. You're already disgusted with her, right? So therefore, he should not nullify any of her vows at all. Okay? What if now, same idea, Nasan lo get al tanai? What if you ever get on a condition that's got to be fulfilled later on? So we don't know from now. It could be, she could be divorced from now, but we got to wait later to see if the condition is fulfilled. Then retroactively, it's now. So you're in that in between period and she makes a vow. Or let's say, Olach Arzman, or he says, no, I'm giving you a get now, and definitely I want it to take effect 2 days later. Not doubtful, but it will take effect to it. Either way, he should not nullify the vow in the time in between for the same reason. There's no reason to nullify because there's no love between them.
What about the whole thing when he goes to war and he gives her a thing?
That's something altogether different. We're not going there right now. Now here's always the tragic situation. A woman is married. Happily married. She heard her husband died. And the rabbi said, you may marry someone else. Then he says, and she marries someone else. And then a little while later, guess what? Who comes home? And she found that her husband's alive. Or anything like that. So now what is, first of all, what's the halacha?
She can't live with either one of them.
Yeah.
Either one.
She's got to get divorced from the other guy and can't marry back her first husband. So now, which one of the husbands can nullify in her vows? Answer is, Ein bal harishon v'lo ha'achron. Neither one can nullify her vows, because again, they're not going to stay married to her. Even though they have not yet given the divorce yet, or whatever they have to do, the complications that have to be dealt with, still and all, they cannot, for the same reasons as we said. Now, what if the woman marries a man she was not supposed to marry, but the prohibition wasn't such a severe prohibition? As you recall, let's say if a brother marries a sister, for example, since that's a chayve krisus, the kedushin isn't even tofes.
No,
it's nothing. Okay, but there are certain marriages that you shouldn't do, but the kedushin is tofes, a chai ve'lavin. It's only a lav, or a chai ve'esen. We say in those cases, the kedushin is a kedushin. If they're married, they're married. They're that's sinning. So now, hoisa mechai ve'lavin. Let's say, for example, a grusha, a divorcee, married a kohen, or any of the other ones that are only a lav. Ve'ein sarach, and it goes without saying, even lesser degree of severity. Or they transgressed a positive commandment, like a kohen gadol has to marry a virgin, and he didn't. Okay, then behavior if he nullifies her vows, her ilum form, they are nullified because they're really married.
Yeah.
Now they're sinning, but not to the point where the kedushin are not tofes. They are halachically man and wife, and they ain't planning on getting divorced. Now that's wrong what they're doing. But he made no indication he's going to divorce her. So if they're halakhically married, and there's no reason why they may not continue to be married, and therefore he can nullify her vows. So we've pretty clear now, in terms of the extent of the marriage between a man and a woman, when he may begin, well, when it ends, as it were, and the father. Now we're going to deal with the very tricky in-between stage. And what's that? Halacha tes. And that's going to carry us for a while. Quite a while. It's going to go, I think, almost yet to the end of the perek. So it's going to go beyond today, and for sure, I mentioned tomorrow as well. Nara me'orasa, a na'ara who is betrothed to another man, but she has not yet gone to the chuppah. We will see, there's two men who have control over her life. She still lives in the father's house. The father has rishus over her. The husband has a certain degree of rishus, which complicates matters greatly, because two people are involved over here. So how does it work in terms of nullifying the oaths? So we're going to find out that neither one, father or the husband, has complete control, as it were, over her, and they got to kind of share the control, and we'll see how that works. Ein mefer nidareha, they cannot nullify her vows, ella except under the following circumstances, ella ha'av im habal, the father with the betrothed man, ke'echod, as one. They both must nullify it when they hear about it, as we'll get into detail. What if one nullified and the other was aware, let's say, and did not nullify? Ain't a mufar. It's not nullified. It's got to work together.
So it can be sequentially. It doesn't have to be.
We'll see. Hey, now, so let's say, okay, but they have to both. Hefer habal levado. Let's say the husband alone nullified the vow. The avral nidra, and she transgressed the vow. Kodem Shiofra, before the father nullified the vow, ain aloka, she will not get lashed. Okay? Even because why? Now, this is interesting, because on the one hand, we said they both have to nullify for the vow to be null and void.
But
we're, so you would have thought, if only one did it, the vow still is there, she got lashed.
Nope.
So it's an interesting concept. When the father or the husband nullifies it, although it's not fully nullified, we call it is, the expression is maklish haneder. They weaken the vow. They take half of the prohibition off the vow. And now the neder is not as strict as it was beforehand. And the same thing would be if the father alone nullified it and she went against the vow before the husband had anything to do with it.
Should she stop doing it at that point or keep on doing it until they both...
She should, obviously, if she knows one is nullifying it, you know, she should be careful. The other one, first of all, the other one might still nullify it. She should not go against it. She should not go... She's just lucky she's not loke. She should keep her vow. It's not totally rescinded. So she should be keeping the vow because it's still partially there. Yeah. So she's not transgressing anything that's lashable.
But there's
still a vow that's hanging in the balance, as it were, a weak vow. So she should keep her vow. She'll have to wait till they both nullified. And until that point happens, right, that's what it's saying. It's not nullified. It is not 100% nullified. It's still out there. So the degree that it's out there, should not transgress it, but we can't lash her because we've already weakened the effect of the vow. Now we're going to get all kinds of combinations involved over here. All the different permutations over here. But first, let's go back to some other, a lot of possibilities now. Let's say now, okay, she's engaged. We're sticking with the girl who's engaged, betrothed, to be married. She's a Nara HaMeuros. Now, what if Mesa Oris, okay, what if the fiancé dies? The chazan dies. Now, so what happens now? Well, simple. She goes back to her father's domain exclusively. It's not like she got married to another man and then he died. Then she does not go back to her father's domain because she never really totally left the father's domain. It's like two people holding on to the tape recorder, and the girl's the tape recorder. So no one has got total control. But if this guy's out of the picture all of a sudden, well, the father's in total control over here. So therefore, the kol shetidor, at this point now, whatever vow she makes after the fiance dies, of Mayfair, the father may nullify, just like Kishahaya Kodesha, just like before she got engaged. All right? Commentary gives lots of other examples. I'm going to spare it to keep it simple. Okay, now let's reverse it the other way. What if Mace Ha'av? Now you have to remember there's a little difference between the autonomy the father had and the fiance had. Because the father was coming into this game with full autonomy. He started with full autonomy. The husband would like one day to have full autonomy, but he doesn't have it yet. So we have the father who started with full has now been reduced, let's say, to half. The betrothed has now been increased or made half. So when the husband, the betrothed, dies, well, there's no one else to share with, so the father goes back to the full control. But let's look at the opposite scenario, though.
The father dies.
Because if the father dies, the husband never, ever had full control. He only had half control, and he's still not married to her.
Right.
So now, Mesa of Achar Shinis Arsa, what if the father dies after she became betrothed, but she hadn't made any vows yet? Vinodra achar moso, and now she makes a vow after the husband dies. The husband does not have full control yet. Ein habal mayfair. The husband cannot, the fiance cannot nullify because he only was only ever able to nullify in partnership with the father.
But he's not around.
He has, we'll call, a half owner. I don't like the word ownership, but you know what I mean.
Half vote.
He's got half a voting share.
We'll call it half voting share. Father started as a full voting, an only
full
voting
proxy,
share.
Now it
became a half shared with the husband. Now what would eventually happen is she gets married to him, and now the father loses it, and the husband gets full.
Yeah.
So when the other guy dies, the father now just retains what he had to begin with. But now if the husband dies, he can't get the full because he just doesn't have it. So the father's gone. So the fiance only has half, and he only can nullify in partnership with the father. Shayna Baal made for Nidre Isho, because a man cannot nullify his wife's vows achitikonis lechuppah till she goes under the chuppah. So with just a half, there's very little he could do. Now, that doesn't mention right now what happens if she would make a vow. Well, obviously we know what's happening. He cannot nullify the vow. And if she would transgress the vow, I don't even think at this point, I'm not sure if it would even weaken the vow. Not sure, Ram hasn't said yet. I don't know if she would get lashed. Let's say now she's only engaged to the man and she makes the vow and transgresses the vow. Could be she gets lashed at this point because maybe the husband has no real effect on this situation.
He must have some.
Before we said if the father was around and the husband alone
nullified. I think Rambam will say it's a suffix.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. Because he's saying he's not all. I don't see any commentary over there.
Can he fully eliminate it after the chuppah?
Yes. Now he's the husband. Okay. Every husband, once your chuppah, he's the only one in charge now.
That's it.
But it's B'yom Shamo, no? It's only
we're talking about B'yom Shamo. Well, the Rambam's going to get to all kinds of complicated cases. Right now, we're not getting to anything about Yom Shamo yet. We're just trying to understand the rules. We'll get to them shortly. All right, let's try to understand the simple cases before we get to the complicated cases. All right, now, here we come to your Shamoah cases. Yud Aleph. Nara Hamurasa. Okay, since it's Nara Hamurasa, there's two people who have to nullify it. Shinadra Shemedaval. Now, who heard it? At this point, Vishama Avia, only the father heard it right now. Velo Shama Rusa, and the husband has not heard it. That's logical. He's not in the house. She's in the father's house. She makes a vow. The father doesn't like it. He nullifies it. Well, that's only half. That doesn't take it off, right? But now we're going to, I don't know why, he has to give us the most complicated first case right away. Vinis Garsha Bo Bayom, and then guess what? She gets a bill of divorce from the fiance that day. And we're still not done. Vinis Arsa La'achar Bobia now takes another Arison from another guy on that day.
Whoa.
Okay, now we specifically want this day, not the next day. Because the next day already, no one can nullify anything because it's past the day you heard it now. But anyway, everything's happening on the same day. You got it?
This is a busy day.
She's engaged. Father nullified. Okay, heard about it, nullified it. Same day, husband didn't hear about it, nullified it.
Fiance.
Then she goes and Mary gets a kiddushin, only an arison from another guy. And even if this happens 100 times in one day, Aviha ubala ha'acharon, the last husband, if it's still on that day, may firin nidareha can nullify the vow shenadra. Bifnei Aris Rishon, that she made in the time of the first fiance. Why? Because Mipnei Shelo Yotzoasa L'Rishus Atzma Shachas. She never was for one moment in her own domain where she was free. Because
right.
Once she would be free, then there's nothing we could do, and that vow will now take hold. Why? Why isn't she free? Well, she was still a Nara. Shadayin here b'shusav. She still is in the domain of the father. The father always had half right on her, at least, if not whole. As a matter of fact, there was a time when could be she was even whole temporarily. But anyway, mipnei she nara, since she is a nara, and she didn't actually get married to another guy, which would have taken her out of the husband's rishus. Only nesuin takes her permanently out of the father's rishus. Arison doesn't. Father's still holding to his 50% share in his daughter. So, okay, she gets married to another guy. Okay, we're going to share 50-50. Doesn't matter. But the father, so that she never, it seems to Rama, if at one time she's out of the father's domain completely, then no one can nullify anything. But since it was only the state of Arusa or less or nothing, so now what happens? At the end of the day, she marries another guy. And the guy finds out about the oath that she made on that day.
And the dad is already...
So now the husband could nullify it, and it's gone. Because the father already nullified it, right? All other permutations that commentators talk about, I don't want to get into it. Okay, Yud Beis. Let's move on now. How about Aval but Ha'isha Hanesua, now a fully married woman. Fully married into the husband's domain. Shenadra, she made a vow. V'lo hefer lo bala. The Baal did not nullify it that day. Could be he heard it, whatever, but didn't nullify it that day. But v'ger shabo bayom, and he divorced her on that day. And the same man, v'chzir bo bayom, he took her back on that day. At that point, ain't a yachal hafer. He cannot nullify it. Right? Why? Because why? Share Yotza Solishus Atzmoshka was a temporary time where she was on her own, as it were, Acher Shenudra, after the vow made it. Her father can't do anything now, because from the time she got fully married, the father's out of the picture.
He could have before she remarried.
That, no, she couldn't. One, remember, once a girl has a validness, we're talking about she got married. She's out forever from the father's domain. And therefore, he can't do anything. Afal pi shenadra b'rishuso. But wait a minute. Didn't she make the vow in the domain of the husband while they were married the first time?
Yeah.
And now she's in, at the end of the day, she's in the rishus. No. Since she was in her own domain temporarily, the vow remained. The owner cannot, because now what? Because what's it like? It's like, let's say a woman, let's say a regular woman, a 25-year-old woman, made a vow. Husband marries her days after she made the vow. He can't say, I don't like that vow. Well, she made it before she got married to you. That's the point. In other words, once she gets divorced by the husband, since the father lost his control upon her marriage to the husband, and the husband loses his control upon the divorce of the woman, at that point she now has entered her own independent...
Total autonomy.
Yes. And once that's there, the vow sticks. Now, obviously, if the husband would have nullified it before they got divorced, it would be done.
Right?
The Kiddush of the Rambam is that even though he started off as the husband that day, ended off as the husband that day, he heard the vow that day, and he nullified it that day. Problem is, he nullified it as a husband after she was not husbanded, and therefore, there's nothing to talk about. Okay, we'll stop it over here. Goyah.